The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Welcome to the weekend. It is Friday, September 28th, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us here today live from Rolla J Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon, where once again I'm steering the ship all by myself. That's right, just Radical Russ today. Cannabis Carrie's on her way down here to Portland, Oregon, as we are making our way out back to our home state. That's right, Carrie and I, as well as Cousin Kenny, are headed back to the state of Idaho for the second annual Idaho Hope Fest, and HOPE stands for Hemp Offers People Everything. It's at the Ann Morrison Park this year. Last year we were at Julia Davis, but this year we're at Ann Morrison Park. It's this Sunday, and for more information, check out IdahoHopeFest.com or IdahoHempFest.com. That will get you there, too. You can learn more about what's going on. Not only will Carrie and I be speaking at the Idaho Hope Fest, I will also be playing music along with Cousin Kenny and some good old friends of ours from Boise, a band that was formerly known as Boy Howdy. We're reconstituting the band, and we'll be playing live there at the Idaho Hope Fest. So you want to check that out. Some good classic rock and blues coming your way from Radical Russ, Cousin Kenny, and some of our friends. Before we get to all of that, though, we got a show to put on today. Lots of stuff to get to. First, we're going to do our 420 headline news, and in the headline news today, some very interesting stories. First, we're going to tell you about a prosecution in Montana where a medical marijuana provider has been convicted. Next, we go to the state of Massachusetts where a drug testing lab chemist is thought to have faked the results in thousands of drug tests. This could affect thousands of people in Massachusetts who were convicted on drug charges. Then, in Kentucky, another drug testing story where people are forced to be positive on a drug test in order to continue using their legal drugs. It's a very strange situation. And then we're going to talk about, in our behind the headlines, another sad case that's going on, an abuse of our justice system that recalls a 2008 story of a Tallahassee woman named Rachel Hoffman. We'll talk about that in behind the headlines. Then at 20 after, we got Herb Thrasher calling us up for our Rockin' Friday Daily Toker Tunes. He's bringing a band that I love called 24/7 Spies, some new live music from then. At half past, we're going out to Springfield, Missouri with Miranda Reynolds from Show Me Cannabis Regulation to get the latest on the Springfield City Council shenanigans. And then at 45 past, it's the fourth Friday, and that means we visit with High Time Senior Cultivation Editor Danny Danko in our Cultivator's Corner segment where you can call in live and ask your cultivation questions. It's a jam-packed show. Hold on tight. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Honey, our ballots came in the mail today. I can't wait to cast my vote for Measure 80.
Measure 80? Is that the one to legalize marijuana? I don't know about that.
Why not? Marijuana is far safer than alcohol.
I know that, but I worry about kids smoking pot.
It's easier for kids to buy pot than beer because clerks check for proper ID.
Sure, but what about stone drivers?
We've had medical marijuana for 14 years, and yet our traffic safety stats are better now than before medical marijuana.
Okay, but what about people coming in stoned to work?
Come on now, honey. Oregon's workplaces are safer than ever, and we have over 50,000 medical marijuana patients. Nothing about Measure 80 prevents employers from maintaining drug-free workplaces. I know change is scary, but Oregon really needs jobs and tax revenue, and Measure 80 will provide them.
Okay, safer for kids and tax revenue for our state? Makes sense to me. I'm voting yes on Measure 80.
Paid for by Oregonians for Law Reform, OregonLawReform.com.
Wiz Khalifa's wallet and cell phone are missing. Again. And Taco Bell's already been searched. We gotta look somewhere.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show.
Now it's time for our 420 headline news. Carrie Gallagher is off today. I'm Russ Belville. Matt Bowles reports from the Associated Press, Chris Williams, Montana medical marijuana provider, found guilty on federal drug trafficking charges. Helena, Montana. A jury has convicted a medical marijuana provider of drug trafficking charges in a major test of the U.S. government's raids on state-regulated pot dispensaries in Montana. The jury found Chris Williams guilty Thursday of all eight charges, including conspiracy to manufacture, possess, and distribute marijuana, and firearms charges. Williams was in charge of Montana Cannabis's Helena Greenhouse, where federal agents confiscated 950 plants in March 2011. That operation was the biggest of the 26 large medical marijuana provider homes, offices, and businesses raided that day across the state. Associated Press, Denise Lavoie reports Massachusetts chemist in drug test flap is arrested, Boston, Massachusetts. A Massachusetts chemist accused of faking drug results, forging paperwork, and mixing samples at a state police lab was arrested Friday in a scandal that has thrown thousands of criminal cases into doubt. Annie Ducan, age 34, was led to a state police cruiser at her home in Franklin, about 40 miles southwest of Boston. Ducan's alleged mishandling of drug samples prompted the shutdown of the Hinton State Laboratory Institute in Boston last month and resulted in the resignation of three officials, including the state's public health commissioner. State police said Ducan tested more than 60,000 drug samples involving 34,000 defendants during her 9 years at the lab. Defense lawyers and prosecutors are scrambling to figure out how to deal with the fallout. Since the lab closed, more than a dozen drug defendants are back on the street, while their attorneys challenge the cases based on Ducan's misconduct. Many more defendants are expected to be released. Authorities say more than 1,100 inmates are currently serving time in cases in which Ducan was the primary or secondary chemist. Kentucky forcing pain patients to buy drug tests to prove prescription use. Most of the people who use illegal drugs are worried about turning up positive on a drug test. When they complain about the unfair and unscientific nature of drug testing, they are dismissed as druggies and criminals by people who use all manner of legal drugs. The criminality of some drug use means most people fail to consider how drug testing is counter to one of the most fundamental tenets of American society: you are innocent until proven guilty. A drug test without probable cause, like applying for a job or public assistance or even joining the middle school orchestra, essentially means you are being accused of committing the crime of possessing and using illegal drugs. And in order to prove your innocence, you must surrender your bodily fluids or allow yourself to be shaved. Only innocent people will be hired, given assistance, or allowed into extracurriculars. So if you don't comply, you're barred and you're guilty. In Kentucky, a recent emergency law passed to curb prescription drug abuse, known as the Pill Mill Bill, is teaching some users of legal prescription drugs what it feels like to be called a druggie and be forced to prove their innocence. Long-term pain patients with controlled substance prescriptions are now forced to submit to urine testing, and in a bit of a twist, they have to test positive in order to maintain their prescription. The idea is that they need to prove they are taking their pills and not selling them on the black market. For some, it is costing them hundreds of dollars to maintain their legitimate medical treatment. The Kentucky.com reports, in Lexington, retired nurse Cynthia Burton grudgingly followed the rules by urinating into a plastic cup so she could get a refill of her insomnia medicine. Her husband did the same for his anxiety medicine. Last week, Burton's insurance company, Bluegrass Family Health, sent her a letter. The urine tests at LabCorp cost $533 each. And because they were not medically necessary, the insurer said, it won't pay for her husband's test. She's still waiting to hear if it will pay for hers, but she's not optimistic given that it was the same test for the same reason under the same plan. More than $1,000 is pretty damn big to us. We're both retired, so it's a lot of money, said Burton, age 61. What I don't like is that under this law, we're considered guilty until proven innocent. We're having to prove our innocence at considerable expense, end quote. Under the emergency regulations, doctors must obtain a baseline urine sample from patients who have long-term controlled substance prescriptions, defined as greater than 3 months. This has been your 420 Headline News with Kerry Gallagher. I'm Russ Belville for the Russ Belville Show. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at another Rachel Hoffman-like case that just took place in Texas.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information. Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
Oh, what a gift.
Welcome back. 13 after the hour here at the Russ Belville Show, and it's time we go behind the headlines and take a look at a very disturbing case in the state of Texas. And, you know, one of the first big tragic stories that I ever covered in this war on marijuana, all the way back in 2008 when I first began, you know, working with Normal and doing their blogging, was the story of Rachel Hoffman. This 23-year-old college student was caught by the cops with marijuana and ecstasy. So the cops made her an offer she couldn't refuse. Go undercover and buy 1,500 pills of ecstasy, 2 ounces of cocaine, and a gun from 2 men who were known to be violent drug dealers with lengthy arrest records. Don't worry, the police told her. We'll have an eye on you at all times, and once you help us bring down the big fish, you'll get off with probation. Well, the police lost sight of Rachel when they set up the so-called controlled drug buy, and the drug dealers lured her into a car and took her out into a long, abandoned country road. 36 hours later, she was found shot, execution style, at the end of that road. The dealers were arrested and charged with her murder, and laws were passed in Florida since then that require the cops to inform lawyers and parents and other people to try to avoid this from happening. But it's still happening. Now, if forcing a college kid to do an undercover cop's work with no training and large amounts of drugs and a weapon for the crime of being a college kid who likes to smoke pot and go to the occasional ecstasy rave, if that's not enough of an abhorrent perversion of justice to boil your blood, then how about this story? A very similar scenario that just happened in Texas, where a woman was forced to buy large quantities of methamphetamine, but not to get out of drug charges, mind you, to get out of punishment for traffic infractions. This is from ABC News. The woman, who wishes to remain anonymous because she fears retribution from dealers, was pulled over for making an illegal lane change in the town of Friendswood on August 22nd, her attorney Dane Johnson told ABC News. The officer who pulled her over found a glass pipe and the prescription medication Suboxone, which Johnson says she has a prescription for. She was given tickets for an out-of-date registration and for not having proof of insurance with her, records show. She was then arrested, taken to the police station, and strip-searched, her attorney alleges. Now, if that's shocking to you that someone would make an illegal lane change and the day would end up being strip-searched, that's also not uncommon. In fact, it's been given the rubber stamp of approval by our U.S. Supreme Court in a recent case that said anytime cops have reason to arrest you, take you into the station, in order to protect their safety and the safety of the jail, you can be strip searched. That's right. Your illegal lane change, your speeding ticket, whatever it is that might take you to the station for, you can be strip searched. Now, the story continues with Johnson saying, quote, the police seemed to think she was a drug dealer and threatened to call Child Protective Services if she didn't cooperate. This is a single mother with no criminal record, and they wouldn't let her call anyone to go look after her child for the 4 hours she was at the station, end quote. So a woman pulled over for an illegal lane change, given a ticket for out-of-date registration, no proof of insurance, but because the cop thinks she's a druggie, they threaten to take her children away unless she cooperates. And while being held, according to ABC News report, while being held, police offered her a deal. Perform 3 controlled drug buys instead of paying the fines, her lawyer said. The attorney told ABC News she had never bought drugs before, but agreed to do it to get out of the citations. Now, this is not some aberration. This is not some wild story. Using criminal charges to pressure people into serving as criminal informants is just standard operating procedure in police stations all across this country. The marijuana user is just a druggie, a criminal enemy who's everywhere and must be brought down with force and coercion and lies. A little fish to be used as bait to catch the big fish. But now it's gone beyond just those of us involved in the drugs. And I've been warning people of this for years and years. I go back to the Pastor Niemöller poem from Nazi Germany. First they came for the trade unionists, but I was not a trade unionist, so I did not speak up. And then they came for the socialist, but I was not a socialist, so I did not speak up. And eventually they came for me, and there was no one left to speak up for me. That's what's going on with this war on drugs. For years and years, it's been drug testing on the druggies. Let's catch the druggies, whatever we can do to bust the druggies. Then it escalated into using the druggies against the druggies. Let's pressure them into being the criminal informants and doing the undercover police work for us. And now that that's not enough for them, they've gone on to start picking on innocent people. Not that we weren't all innocent, those of us who happen to use drugs or marijuana. But now they're picking on a woman who has no experience with drugs whatsoever and asking her to go buy methamphetamine, $100 worth. And now it's not a huge amount of methamphetamine, but it's a big enough amount. It's a big enough amount to make people curious as to why you're coming in to get that much all of a sudden. And I don't know if you know this or not, but people on methamphetamine, especially those who are dealing it, can be a little bit wild and unpredictable and prone to violence. She was sent in there with no backup. She was sent in there with no training and no support. And when she went in for the first buy, she saw at least one handgun. With 2 more buys planned for her by the police, she was terrified and tried to get out of the deal. And then what happens? The department and the police chief himself threatened that if she didn't go through with the other 2 meth buys, she would be charged for the controlled substances violations for the first meth buy they made her go do. Yes, people, this is what the drug war has come to. taking a single mother with no criminal record, threatening her with taking her children, forcing her to do a $100 meth buy, and then if she doesn't go forward with the other two after she's terrified for her life seeing tweakers with handguns, threatening her with putting her in prison for methamphetamine. If that's not something that deserves time for a break and some thoughtful reflection on this weekend, I don't know what is. The drug war affects all of us, not just the people taking drugs.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Marijuana legalization. It's a topic everyone is talking about out west. Oregonians have always been pioneers in marijuana policy. We were the first to decriminalize personal possession in 1973 and one of the first to legalize medical marijuana use in 1998. Now it is time for Oregonians to take the lead again and become the first state to regulate marijuana like we do alcohol. We can do that by passing Measure 80 this election. Let's face it, demand for marijuana isn't going anywhere, and the longer we deny that, the more unscrupulous dealers take advantage of our medical law. With Measure 80, we will finally end abuses of medical marijuana by providing all consumers with a well-regulated, adults-only store where IDs are checked. The state reaps tax revenue, our economy gains new jobs, and our police can put their energies towards solving actual crimes. The feds may not like it, but since when do Oregonians let Washington, D.C. tell them how to run the state? One out of seven Oregon adults uses marijuana, and they shouldn't be treated like criminals. Vote yes on Measure 80, and let's make marijuana work for Oregon.
Jive, marry, grifo, grass, hay. Technically, it's cannabis sativa, the common name, marijuana. She has found a crutch to see her through her difficulties instead of facing up to them and coping with them. And in time, she may be ready to try something different. Something better.
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together. So let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes. The best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Rockin' Friday, featuring rock, metal, and the hard edge of alternative country. You can get downloads and more information about all our daily toker tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your daily toker tune.
Aw, yeah, great music from Tommy Niemeyer and the Accused there, opening up our Rockin' Friday daily toker tunes, and we got Herb Thrasher on the line. How you doing, Herb?
Dude, doing great, man. Getting ready for October. It seems right around the corner.
I know. Can you believe? October already coming at us. And, of course, this weekend I'm in Idaho. Next weekend is the normal national conference. And, folks, guess what? Breaking news here on the Russ Belville Show. It looks to be a strong 95% chance that Carrie and I will be down there in Los Angeles for the normal conference, getting some footage, interviews, and blog reporting from Los Angeles next weekend. So cool beans. Anyway, let's go back to Herb Thrasher here, because you got the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour happening tonight, 8 o'clock Pacific. What do we have in store to rock out tonight?
Yeah, we're gonna rock out tonight and just take it a little easy. 25 years ago yesterday, Cliff Burton, bass player from just masters Metallica,
Yeah. He
passed away, and so we're gonna give a little tribute to Cliff Burton tonight and play a couple songs from the old school albums there, and we'll talk about Witchcraft is got a brand new album out. It's one of my favorite bands, period, and I'd like to play a couple of those songs for you guys, and then we're just going to take some requests, man, and let's just let you guys pick us some songs tonight. So you guys show up in the chat room with some rock songs in mind, and we'll try to get them on there towards the end of hour one and hour two.
Excellent, and speaking of coming up you know, next we got our Toker Talk Radio Hour, but at 3 o'clock we have the replay of last weekend's Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, and that's the way it's always going to happen on Fridays. At 3 o'clock you'll get last week's show, and then at 8 o'clock you get the brand new show. And last week we had Brian Fair from Shadows Fall On, who turned out to be just a totally awesome dude.
Man, we had a great interview with him. He called us up, and we got to talk about their brand new album and their brand new tour that they had announced, and he gave us some great, great insight on some of the happenings that's going on down there in Texas. We hear a lot of the stories of our celebrity musicians getting arrested going through a roadblock down there, and Brian was able to share some info and really, really give us a perspective of what's going on down there. And we also talked sports, and it was a fun time and great having him on. Appreciate you guys go support that band, that Shadows Fall.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to sell how many million albums before you're allowed to be an Auburn fan on Herb's show? How does that work?
Exactly, man. It was a trip. We totally surprised to find out that he is an Auburn Tiger fan, but it was good, man. I'm proud to have him in the SEC.
Yeah, yeah. So for our show today, Herb Thrasher's got our Rockin' Friday tune, and I saw this come through the email and went, oh, hell yeah, double hell yeah, because it's 24/7 Spies, one of my favorite. Tell us about it.
Yeah, yeah, these guys are old school dudes, man. They formed back in mid-80s, probably around 86. And they just had some major, major funk metal kind of albums come out. Harder Than You was their first album. And if you guys just go back and get that album. Every song on that album is totally classic. Back when the Red Hot Chili Peppers had started bringing this funk into metal, and bands started popping up too, and 24/7 Spies was one of those bands. And I was going through the queue looking at songs, and, you know, I've always loved these guys. And knowing that the big Black Tuna, he's got a big grandparent kind of tour going on, talking about grandmas and grandpas and
Silver
getting
tuna.
Them to vote. And so this song, and on a personal note, my grandma here lately has been having a little bit of problems. So it just seemed to be a good time to bring this song out. And this is called Grandma Dynamite, and it's just a great album. This is off a live album, and this album came out in 2006. And so there's just classic songs on the album, and they're just Funkadelic's badasses is what they are.
Absolutely.
And Jimmy Hazel is a guitar player, and no one can really funk metal better than Jimmy Hazel. And so you guys, what I would encourage is, I know it's hard to talk to our moms, our dads, and our grandparents about voting, but man, you know, there's no other time that's more important than now. And if we can get our grandparents to be voting yes for our futures, it would be strong towards what we're seeking, and that's freedom. So you guys, horns up, join us tonight on Herb Thrasher Flower Hour at 8 o'clock, and turn this shit up right here. Did I just say shit?
You sure did, and that's cool, man. Thanks, Herb. Here it is, 24/7 Spies from their live album, Can You Hear the Sound, with Grandma Dynamite on your Rockin' Friday.
Get on the streets right now. Hey, yeah.
24/7 Spies, Grandma Dynamite, a live album. Can you hear the sound? Get this and other Daily Toker Tunes download by getting your premium membership at RadicalRust.com today. Click on the top menu for membership.
Kids and marijuana, it's something every parent worries about. With Measure 80 on the ballot, many parents are worried about what message legalized marijuana would send to their children. While legalization seems scary, our experience with alcohol and tobacco show that regulation and education, not prohibition, are what best protects our children. Today, fewer teens drink alcohol or smoke cigarettes than when we were growing up. And that's because we passed strict ID carding regulations, put beer and cigarettes out of kids' reach, and educated them about the real harms of smoking and drinking. In fact, teens smoking and drinking are at their lowest recorded levels ever. And we didn't arrest a single adult for cigarettes and beer to accomplish that. Kids consistently say that beer is harder to buy than pot. After Measure 80, marijuana is treated like alcohol. You have to be 21, you have to show ID, and you have to go to an adults-only store. The message we send to kids today is just say no, and it doesn't work. Let's send the message that marijuana is for adults, and someday they can make that decision for themselves. Vote yes on Measure 80.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. If I said some silly thing, then that's the reason why.
Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belleville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everyone. 34 after the hour, and earlier this week, we told you the story of the shenanigans going on in Springfield, Missouri. Joining us by telephone from Springfield to tell us all about it is Miranda Reynolds. She's working with Show Me Cannabis Regulation out there. Miranda, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's reset this for people that don't know the story. You folks in Springfield put together an initiative to have decriminalization at the city level. Can you give us an idea of the initiative, when it's enacted, what it does?
Yeah, it reduces the penalties for possession of a misdemeanor amount of marijuana, which in Missouri is 35 grams or less.
Okay, so it's still going to be a misdemeanor. It's still against the law.
It's just... No, it's not a misdemeanor, so it would qualify as an ordinance violation.
Okay.
It would violate a city ordinance.
Okay.
So it would no longer be a misdemeanor in that sense.
And you guys went out and got the signatures for this. What did you have to get, like 10% of the registered voters or something?
It was 7% of the people that... it might have been 10% of the people that voted in the last gubernatorial election.
Okay.
And they just recently changed this. They passed a law to change the amount of signatures. At the time, that equaled 2,101 ballot signatures.
And they've changed the law now to require how many?
Effectively, it's about 7,000.
Oh, okay.
It was actually something that went to the voters, and they approved it. But there were some other changes to the initiative process that also went to the voters, and those weren't approved.
So the one that got approved was the one that makes it 3.5 times harder for the people to get a ballot initiative.
Yeah. I was kind of surprised, but I definitely know that not only was the city pushing this, but I think organizations like the Chamber of Commerce were also pushing for that.
You pesky activists trying to, you know, go with the direct democracy and everything and put votes in front of the people. I mean, you're gumming up the works, I guess.
Yeah. wait, what was that? Sorry, I missed that.
Just being a little sarcastic. Now, Miranda, so what's...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
So what's happening now, of course, is... this initiative, and we detailed this on Wednesday's show, we spoke with John Payne about it, is that the initiative has enough signatures, right? And so the city council has this choice. They can either say, all right, well, let's put it on the ballot, let's let the people vote on it, or they can say, hey, all right, we'll just pass this thing. Enough people want it, we'll just pass it. So that's what they did. They passed it. Tell people what they did after that.
Yeah, well, and the craziest part of it is that they explicitly stated, some of them, at least two of them stated when they voted for it, that they were only passing it to make it easier to repeal. Now, if it were to go to a vote and it passed, council couldn't make any changes until 6 months after it went into effect, and they would have to have a unanimous vote to change anything.
Wow. Okay.
But it's pretty strict. But the thing now is, like, if they pass it, or since they passed it, they were able to make changes just like any other ordinance. In effect, become their ordinance.
Right.
So all they need is simple majority to pass anything through.
Wow. So if you put forth the signatures, if they let it go to the voters, and you believe the voters would have passed this?
I honestly do. Yeah, I think I think they would have passed it.
Well,
I mean,
it seems like the city council
56% support for legalization in the entire country.
Yes.
According to the last news poll, and I just don't see why the people of Springfield wouldn't. You know, we're knowledgeable. We know this issue is pervasive. It's not just, you know, on the West Coast or the East Coast. Everybody's talking about it, and I think the people of Springfield understand that handling marijuana in the way that we do with our justice system is just not working.
Yeah, and it would seem to me that the city council agrees that the people would have passed it, because if they thought that it was a duck, if it wasn't going to go anywhere, they'd have said, all right, yeah, put it on the ballot, it'll flop, and we don't have to worry about this thing again. But they made this excuse when I was reading the papers to say, they're making this excuse that, oh, well, gosh, putting this on the ballot would just cost so much money. Like we need to do a cost-benefit analysis on whether or not we have democracy.
Right, yeah. It's just ridiculous. And like they actually tried to use the excuse that they were sure it wouldn't pass, and thus they were saving the voters the money by not putting on the ballot, which is just ridiculous.
Wow. And they're not doing this. Now, do you have other municipal initiatives that are being put forth for the ballot this year from other groups, other topics?
We don't have anything else that is going to the ballot this year, but in the past 2 years, there have been about 4 initiative plus petitions that have been very heated. There's been a lot of discussion, and in some cases, the council took some flack for it. They actually considered doing this very same thing with an ordinance that would basically enforce the federal mandate that businesses use the E-Verify system to make sure that people, the workers, are legal. And they considered doing that for the, for that ordinance. Instead, they sent it to the voters. It ended up passing, and it ended up having some unconstitutional portions. A few business owners sued the city, and they the ordinance was found to be in violation and in conflict with the Constitution, with other laws.
Yeah.
So the city ended up having to pay court fees, and the law ended up being struck down, basically. They actually just, the council just, like, last week ended up repealing that ordinance.
Yeah. So this city council here realizes if it goes to the voters and they pass it, they can't touch it for 6 months. And if they do touch it, they got to get them a unanimous vote. So they realize, okay, we'll pass it ourselves. If we pass it ourselves, we can do anything we want with it, and we only need a majority vote. And, of course, what they did with it was repealed it.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that you can definitely tell that the citizens of Springfield are very concerned with how the city has been treating the initiative process. As I mentioned before, there were, in the August election, there were two changes to the initiative process that were brought to a vote. Like I said, one of them passed, which increased the number of signatures to get something in front of council. But there was another one that would have added a lot of red tape on the whole process. So time limit, it also would have, it would just kind of make it a little more difficult. And the people didn't vote in favor of that.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of proves that it's important to people, and they want to make sure that issues that the council wouldn't normally address can be addressed by a group of passionate people that is willing to take the time to get signatures and put that in front of them.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Miranda Reynolds from Show Me Cannabis Regulation about the city council in Springfield, Missouri, just basically repealing, you know, adopting a citizen-based initiative for marijuana decrim, adopting it with the sole purpose of repealing it. And then reading further in this story, they say, well, you know, what sort of response, what sort of thing can the activists do? Well, the activists could put forth a petition to get an initiative to repeal the repeal, which of course could be adopted, and then the council could repeal the repeal of the repeal. It's just absurd. What are you going to do? What are you guys going to do about this?
You know, we think our best option, and really our only option at this point, is to sue. At this point, it's not just a matter of the marijuana issue. It's a matter of protecting the one option people have for direct democracy in the state of Missouri. You know, and I hope that this will set, hopefully, I hope it will set a precedent for the initiative process all around the state. I'm hopefully protecting that very valuable resource that the people have.
Well, and you're so right on that, because a lot of people don't realize this, but in most, well, not most states, but there's 22 or 23 states that have the initiative process. And even within those states, just a few cities that might have this process. There's many parts of the country where this is not possible at any level. So you're right. So right to want to protect this. And again, not just for the reasons of wanting to decriminalize marijuana or marijuana policy at all, but just to have democracy. Let me ask this. This process by which in the city charter, you can have this initiative and then the city council gets to decide which way it goes. What about just taking the city council out of it altogether? If the people put forth an initiative, and let's say it's the 7,000 signatures, whatever, but if they put forth the initiative, it's got to go to the ballot. Is there any way of getting that enacted?
I'm not sure. I think it's definitely something we need to look into. We need to protect this process. And ironically, one of the council members that voted for the repeal went onto a talk radio show the next morning and said that he felt bad about it, basically, that it was a loophole and that's what they used.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that, unfortunately, the only way to have that change is to come from the council, because the initiative process, at least in Springfield, can only allow you to bring ordinance in front of the council. It doesn't allow for changes to the city charter. I believe only the council can do that. So, you know, those changes to the initiative process are going to have to come from the council. Now, hopefully, they would listen to public opinion on the best way to do that. but they have not proven to be very interested in what the public is saying in regards to some of the issues that have been coming up lately.
Well, it's a fascinating story, and once again, a way that our democratic process gets abused in the name of stopping the drug menace. Oh, boy. Miranda Reynolds is with Show Me Cannabis Regulation. Check out show-me-cannabis. Is it .org or .com?
I think either will work.
Okay. Get out there and help people in Springfield, Missouri stand up for democracy. Thank you, Miranda, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. When we come back, Danny Danko takes your live questions right here. Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. NORML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Almost busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact NORML at www.norml.org or call toll free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Mary, Mary, quite contrary. Free weed. How does her garden grow? Free weed. I don't know.
Danny Danko on the NORML radio. Free weed.
I'm just the voiceover guy.
Free weed.
Ask High Times Senior Cultivation Danny Editor Danko Danny Danko in the Russ Belville Show Danny Cultivator's Danko. Corner.
All right, it is time. It's the fourth Friday of the month. We're winding up September. It's getting to be harvest season. Who better to have on the show live in our window but Danny Danko, Senior Cultivation Editor for High Times Magazine. Hi, Danny.
Hey, Russ. How's it going?
It's doing really well. Thanks for joining us by video Skype today from beautiful New York City. How are things at the High Times office?
It's great. It's a little rainy today, but that's okay. You know, the plants need rain, so we don't hate it as much as the non-farmers out there.
Absolutely. How's the recovery from the Seattle Medical Cannabis Cup? It seemed to be a really good time up there.
Yeah, it was great. Congratulations to Ganja John, of course, on a monumental victory. He was just, that was an amazing moment to be able to be a part of that with him. And it was just such a great event to honor Vivian McPeak,
yes,
who's worked so tirelessly and hard with the Dr. Lester Grinspoon Lifetime Achievement Award. And, you know, just to sample all the wonderful foliage of the Pacific Northwest. And, you know, it was really great. And we were really happy with how everything went down. And, you know, the Medicaid area, everything was just really cool. And people were just amazing. We had a great time out there.
Yeah, you even got to have the city attorney there, Pete Holmes, who, you know, is a large part of the reason why you were able to have that cup there. What was it like being in a city where the city attorney, the mayor, the city council all stand for legalization?
It's incredible, especially coming from a place like New York City, where our mayor has expressed his admiration for cannabis, and yet, basically been responsible for and turned his back on all of the cannabis users. And we are the marijuana arrest capital of the world, as far as I can tell. And going to a place where the mayor, Pete Holmes actually said that their goal for 2013 is not a single marijuana arrest. I mean, that was just so, you know, heartening in the face of all the struggles that we have out here in New York and on the East Coast and in, you know, the South and in all these places, just to have people in politics that are not former politicians, but current politicians who, you know, and the other interesting thing that Pete Holmes said was that it doesn't come without a political cost for him to do that at all, and that people should understand that he does that at great risk to his political career, and yet we need so many more politicians to act in that behavior. I mean, that was just amazing.
Yeah, it was an amazing event, and you know, great time was had by all. So now you've done cups in Detroit, Denver, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Seattle. Gotten to see the scene, you know, all across this country as far as these cannabis cups go. What are some of the differences, or just the highlights? What makes one city's scene different than another?
Well, they all share the similarities of, you know, the people that are emerging from this underground world, and they don't really always understand whether they should do it or you know, what's going to be the result of it. And yet they're all just so happy and pleased to be able to share the things that they used to have to keep to themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the most monumental things, just the level of, wow, you've been doing this for, you know, this many years, and you, we, you know, we're practically neighbors, and we never knew because we had to keep this all hidden and under wraps. And so when that comes out, it's a joyous celebration that people have. And sometimes, you know, with all the dabs and everything, it gets, you know, it gets very joyous.
Yes.
But I think that the connections that are made at these events, as far as people finally linking up a face with a name or a strain with the person who created it and shared it and all of that, it's just, you know, it echoes into history as far as, you know, the cannabis world is concerned. And so it's pretty amazing. And we're just so happy to be a part of that. Every time we go into these communities, all of the local activists and all of, you know, the people who are able to make it there are just so excited about how just how awesome it is. You know, I don't know. It's hard to describe.
It is pretty amazing. And, you know, one thing I find, you know, when I go down to Southern California to the LA Cup is OG everything. Everything's kush. And then the Seattle Cup, everything, I found a lot of sativa was being, you know, kind of promoted. Do you see differences like that as well?
Absolutely. I mean, each region has its kind of signature flavors and strains. Pacific Northwest, for sure, you know, it's that Jack and Haze and a lot of the purples that, you know, flower fairly quickly because they have a shorter season as you travel further north. Williams Wonder is one of those strains that's just had a real basis in the Pacific Northwest. And then, yeah, Denver has its own set of flavors, a little bit on the sweeter side. And then, of course, LA, yeah, kush, everything.
What's the chance that we might ever have, you know, the battle of the Cannabis Cup All-Stars and settle the nationwide cup once and for all? Have maybe the top three winners of each, you know, do a national sort of thing. Is that possible?
Actually, have been talking about something like that for 2013. We did an article last May. My colleague Nico did the Strongest Strains on Earth. And that article actually comprised a lot of the test results and judging results of the various cups that we had put together that year. And so, yeah, I mean, there's definitely plans to just continue doing that in the future. And, you know, not just the lab results, but the people's choices as well, the patient's choices.
Yeah. This is our Cultivator's Corner segment. I want to remind folks that this is your chance to ask a live question for Danny Danko. You can call us at 971-533-7111. I'm also monitoring the chat room down there. I see DJ Runaway, Gothic Prophet, Georgia Mom for Marijuana, Wake Up Dead, all hanging out there chatting. So if you've got a cultivation question, this is your chance to get it in here. I'll start off with the fact that, you know, there's a lot of harvest going on right now. We just had a raid here in the Portland area of one of our most outstanding, you know, safe access points for patients. What are some tips you can give people during this harvest season to help keep them safe?
Well, yeah, I mean, wow, that's a tough one. Depending on their situation, I mean, some people, you know, if you have your permits and everything, then, you know, you're somewhat safer, but you know, don't brag about what you have going on. Don't throw big parties like a big harvest party. Just keep it down to the people that actually need to be there. If you're doing trimming and things like that, just don't consider it a party. It's still work, and you haven't reached the plateau yet. So, you know, I mean, that sort of thing. And you know, don't associate yourself with people who you don't feel like you can trust because you feel like you might need them. Because the truth is, you can do twice the work yourself and avoid having to interact with someone that you think is sketchy just by not being lazy. I mean, I find a lot of people, you know, farm out, so to speak, their work, and they end up suffering because the people that they thought they could trust, they maybe could not trust quite as much. And
yeah, like, you know, we say, loose lips cause rips.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, stick within your, you know, local limits and try to stay off the radar of people who are, you know, looking for those, you know, moles that jump up, and, you know, when they're whacking a mole, you don't want to be the one that jumps up there and puts your head, you know, right there where they can see it.
Yeah. And for the medical marijuana people out there in the various states, I can't tell you how many stories I cover where someone's in Utah or Texas or Illinois and they flash their California card or their Oregon. Well, I'm medical, by golly, as if that means anything to the Texas Rangers. That would be my big tip, is to, you know your laws, you know, and be careful, man. Just be careful. You know, Danny, as we get into this this later season, people are now, you know, I've gotten a lot of correspondence from people that are curious about the latest technologies. You know, of course, everybody's, you know, a lot of people, especially up north, are growing indoors and trying to find lower cost ways and more clandestine ways to grow. One technology that's been out there for a while now is these LED lights. And every year I'm out at these different expos and they seem to be getting better and better. Have they passed that threshold now where they're able to compete with some of the other high intensity lights?
Yeah. And, you know, I think that the technology has passed the threshold, and right now the costs are coming down. And I think at a certain point when the cost is lower and the quality of the end product that you get is higher, then that will be an advantage. And I think right now, a lot of the larger rooms that I see are using like a checkerboard pattern where they're doing high intensity discharge lighting and LED lighting as somewhat supplemental, but basically a way to keep electrical costs down. Hmm. But at the same time, a lot of those units are still, you know, pretty expensive. So what they save you in electrical costs is what you're going to pay sometimes in the actual unit that you're purchasing. Hmm. But we did have a story in our last our October issue. Basically, the cover line was why LEDs no longer suck. And so first few generations of those lights, common, but still fairly expensive and somewhat there. There you go. Yeah, longer stuck. And also that Dabs article, people have been definitely responding to. But yeah, that's Nico's article as well, and it's about the improvements that have been made to light emitting diode technology for the specific purposes of cultivation, because LEDs are great for many, many other purposes as well. And they're just starting to kind of, you know, hold their own as far as grow lights go. I mean, I'm pretty old fashioned. I like to, you know, put up a 1,000-watt high pressure light.
Oh, sorry about that, Danny. That's a little timer that's going off telling us we're hitting the end of the hour. We do have a couple more questions. Can you hang out with us an hour or two for a couple minutes? I hope so. All right, so we're going to wind things up here. We'll keep Danny on the line if we can here and wind up the show for the folks listening in the first hour. Thanks for joining us via podcast. You can get more information on our podcasting, our live schedules at RadicalRust.com. Check it out today. For Cannabis Carry and everybody else here at Roller J Studios, thanks for joining us. I'm Radical Russ. For the Russ Belleville Show, make sure to catch us out in Boise, Idaho this Sunday at the Idaho Hope Fest. It's at the Ann Morrison Park. I'll also be playing bass with Cousin Kenny and the boys from Boy Howdy. For everyone here, thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belleville Show.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.